Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
And there is no Joe Canale because Joe Canale's a bitch.
He's ghosting us.
Yeah. Like a little bitch. I'm gonna. That's, by the way, the name of this episode is going to be Joe Canale's a bitch.
Parentheses, signed off by one person.
Parentheses. Next week we play Colorado.
Meaning that they will take the place of Joe Canale?
No, meaning that I want people to know what the point of the podcast is, but also how I feel about Joe Canale.
So you don't feel like Colorado is going to take the place of Joe in that category?
I have a... Oh, wait.
What?
He did...
What?
What? We got a tweet. We got a text from... Oh, he's in Legoland.
Oh, yeah. But I thought that was tomorrow. Oh, no, there was a, you know what? We didn't remember the text chain.
Yep. Either way, Joe Canale's still a bitch.
He's in Legoland. We're talking Huskers because we are the people that you rely on.
Right. We're reliable, unlike Joe Canale, who's unreliable.
Yeah. Honestly, I hope that people have calmed down by the time they're listening to this. A lot of hot takes just flying right now.
Yeah, like Dirk the Coward Challenge.
Well, his had nothing to do with the game. Well, no, it actually did have a little bit to do with the game.
Yeah, this game is so bad, you'd almost... The only way it could be worse is if we gave Adrian Martinez an ACL injury. Like, man, what are you tweeting, you stupid asshole? Like, come on. Like, I'm not one of those, like... I'm not...
You're sounding pretty sensitive.
No, it's not. It's just, it's begging for attention.
Yeah.
And what really bothered me about it was that he deleted it. I get what his point was,
but it's just a bad idea. It wasn't a good tweet.
Yeah. Man, let me think of an example. My mom is so quiet today. The only way she could be more quiet is if she died of cancer. Do you see what I'm saying? How much of an asshole that thing sounds.
Are you about
sounds?
To go tweet that on your personal account?
Well, it's just like, do you see what I'm saying? It's just a dickhead thing to tweet.
Yeah, it's not.
You knew what you were going to get. You get shit on, and then that's not even the problem. Make the tweet. Fine.
Sorry, I just jammed my mouth into the mic.
Good. Then you delete it? If you're going to tweet it, you better stand by it, you dumb asshole.
Unless you realize after the fact that it was dumb.
But you didn't. He tried to stick up for himself, got sick of all the bad.
He didn't say anything in response to
it,
though.
Yes, he did.
Did he?
I read a couple where he was like, that's not what I'm saying. Da 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 da.
Oh, then yes. Then at that point.
Stand by it, coward. Dirk the Coward Challenge.
But sometimes you say things and they come off differently than what you mean them.
Yeah, I'm sure what he meant was, Well, how do you think? What's the spin on the tweet where he basically wished Adrian? Well, okay, now I'm being an asshole. When he basically was like, Adrian Martinez is playing like he has an ACL injury.
I'll say this:
coming from the kid, didn't he get an ACL injury? Isn't that why
It was a knee strain.
Okay.
I'll say this. Nebraskans have really a hate relationship with Dirk Chatelain, it seems. Whenever I've done comedic articles like my like real time press conference things, I love to make jokes about Dirk Chatelain because it's just kind of easy.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah. But I'll say this. He's a hell of a reporter, especially an investigative journalist, where he just really failed.
What breaking stories has Dirk Chatelain done?
No, I'm talking like
investigative journalist.
Like long-term, maybe I use the wrong term, but long-form journalistic pieces.
Googling stats? He's good at Googling stats?
Hang on. I'm not going to tell you shut the fuck up because I realized where that got us last time. No, I'm talking like human interest pieces where he interviews people and develops relationships with them and really delves deep. I'm not talking stat stuff. Where he's terrible is
his
analysis of statistics, because he pulls something apart and you're like, that
doesn't make sense.
You're reaching.
You're just cherry picking shit.
It's a huge reach. And then the other part where he's terrible is opinion hot take type pieces. When he gets a chance to interview people and really delve into a human interest type thing, there's a reason why.
So interview me, Dirk.
His book.
Let's see where that goes.
His book, I think it's called 24th in Glory. I've read snippets of it. It's about the early stages of the black athlete in Omaha, and then like where that's all gone. That's wonderful, but when he delves into this kind of shit, he's just terrible. He's not good.
I'm
going to
go on the record as saying I think that Dirk Chatelain is bad at everything.
there was an Omaha World Herald article on the barber in Auburn, Nebraska, Joe Ingersoll and his dad. And Joe is one of my favorite human beings in the world. I wouldn't say he's a real talkative, let you in kind of guy. He's like an old Nebraskan who's like, yep. How's it going, Patrick? That kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And yet Dirk got like wonderful information out of he and his dad back in the day. I'm like, I was in the barber shop in Auburn once talking to Joe. I was like, how the fuck did Dirk get all that information out of you? Oh, I don't know. He was just in here asking me a bunch of fucking questions. But he did it. He got it done. Like that's impressive,
I guess.
I don't know. And then the story was well written. Dirk is at the heart of things a good writer, but man, his opinions are shitty. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to go on the record as saying I also interview people. I don't think it's that hard. I also write. I don't think it's that hard.
Well, here's where I say you're a really good fucking interviewer.
Right. And you know how hard it is to be a good interviewer?
But
you just got to ask questions and listen. Not be an asshole and not be an idiot.
And see like a little bit about the human psyche, see where it's going. I think you're good at reading those kinds of things. It's also really easy like Peyton Manning could say, yeah, it's pretty easy being a quarterback because I'm good at it.
All right, that's fair. Thanks for the compliment, Pat.
No problem. I mean, it's
after you told me to shut the fuck up again.
No, I cut myself off before I did it.
I was sitting there. I was like, am I going to grab his finger again for is the callback funny enough?
I've had a few libations today.
I haven't had any.
Dude,
I'm really proud of myself.
Proud of myself.
No one thought I was going to be able to do it. And I didn't really either, but I didn't have any.
Well, you got a few more games to go there, bud.
Yeah, I do.
But no, I don't say fake compliments. I mean it.
Thanks.
So there you go.
So how do we? So let's talk about the game. Let's get it over with. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got that out of the way. They got that out of the way.
Iowa State is ranked ahead of us. They went into double overtime against an FCS school.
Right. I'm not sure that that
it doesn't make it better, but what it shows is that week one
weird shit happens.
Yeah, which is also why week one against Akron. Well, there are two things about that. Week one against Akron last year could have been great because it would have helped us potentially against Colorado. But also, too, week one, weird shit could have happened against Akron last year, too. I mean, that's always a possibility as well.
Right. But it's better to have that shit, that weird shit happen against Akron than it is against Colorado.
Right.
Because then maybe you're 2-0 and maybe you're 2-0 and then you're going into the Troy game.
Yeah.
And you're feeling a little more confident. Or maybe Collier doesn't break your starting quarterback's ankle like an asshole.
Or maybe we're 0-2 at that point.
I doubt that.
I don't know. Revisionist history is for, I don't know, other people. No, I mean, I like to play the revisionist history. Are you tweeting Joe or texting Joe?
No, Brett Maylene.
Oh. Well, tell him to go the fuck away because he wasn't there today.
I know.
The Husker Bar watch site co-organizer did not show up today.
Well, yeah.
Shame him.
Yeah, it's shitty. But also, we knew.
He told me we knew it was going to happen.
He told me a month ago.
But nonetheless,
or
shame
3 weeks
him.
Ago, something like that, yeah. The bar we went to today was packed. 9 a.m. game in L.A. So it sucks in Lincoln, 11 a.m. game. 11 a.m. game suck in Lincoln. They're 9 a.m. here.
I like early games. I'm not going to lie.
I don't.
I hate them for Nebraska because you can't do recruiting weekends when the game starts that early in most cases. Dude. I'm an early to bed, early to rise guy.
I am too, but I mean I was up at 6 a.m. or whatever. I've been up at 5:36 all week, but I like night games. They're more fun, and also the bar's more packed. We had 55 people when I counted last. Probably ended up being closer to 65.
See, I didn't do a count.
I did a count.
That's
damn, good. That's good for a 9 a.m. game in L.A.
Well, and that's about all that bar can hold.
We had like closer to 100 there for the Akron game last year, but it was a night game.
I just like being able to find parking.
Yeah, that's true.
Nonetheless, we didn't. So all that, we'll get rid of all that. The lines, I was underwhelmed today.
Yeah.
I also think Greg Austin.
Can we do something different?
Sure.
Can we start with the positive? I would like that.
Let's do that.
My top three positive things today were number one, Wandell Robinson.
Okay. I put him in the neutral right now.
Holy shit. Is he going to be something?
I agree with that.
I'm also going to put, I'm going to say defensive turnovers, which was sort of an issue last year. Not a lot of them.
Yeah. And you need them in a Chenander defense.
Yes. That's the whole thing. His thing is based off of. There's a lot of them today. There was, that fucking just smacking the quarterback by Cam Taylor, give him snot bubbles.
Whew.
I mean, I haven't seen a hit that hard since Sue. Like, that was a wicked hit.
Yeah, well, part of it is he had no clue he was coming. Body.
Yeah, blindsided. That ball, I mean, it was great. So that was great. Big fan of that. Hope that carries on moving forward.
Yeah.
And
I liked seeing a defensive back blitz that worked for once.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with, if I were to single out a player that I'm... Eric Lee really stepped up. JoJo Doman really stepped up. Cam Taylor really stepped up. Those are the things that I think were good today.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So in a 3-4, you have two inside linebackers. You want to have a 2 deep. So you'd like to have 4 inside linebackers. Basically, we've got 3.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Mo Berry, Will Honus, and Colin Miller.
But they're probably going to start bringing guys like Eric Lee up.
but not to inside linebacker.
Oh, he'd be outside linebacker.
Huh? Yeah.
How much different is it to play those two positions inside and outside?
Hugely.
Okay.
So we needed to see, I mean, and really of those three, the only one who was really proven was Mo Berry. So we needed somebody to step up. I'm hoping eventually Will Honus gets there, but Colin Miller looked great today. Now, am I a coach? Have I watched all the film? No. But just on the eyeball test, I thought Colin Miller looked great, and I thought he outplayed Will Honus fairly considerably. So I'm putting Colin Miller up there in the positives. I thought depth and showing – we played a lot of bodies today. Like and a lot of bodies who won't necessarily play in bigger moments.
It felt almost like a spring game, but yeah, against another team today.
Eli Sullivan, Wyatt Mazur, those guys.
Wyatt Mazur was the
benefactor. And they played
well. Yeah, Wyatt Mazur was the benefactor of Maurice Washington sitting out the first half.
Right. But Eli Sullivan absolutely played his ass off in, like, still significant moments. And then my third one is Eric Lee. I mean, the turnovers in general, but in particular, so Eric Lee is a senior who was kind of being left behind a little bit. If it weren't for Deonte Williams getting hurt, he wasn't going to be playing.
I thought it was his injury.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything on that.
He was getting a lot of flags.
Deonte was not playing well when he left the game, which bums me out a little bit because he's supposed to be one of our better guys
this year. He's supposed to be a headhunter. That's the problem. He was doing a little too much headhunting.
Well, and he wasn't playing well.
Also, a couple of those flags that got called on him were bullshit.
At least one of them. But I'd say take that out of it. Like,
well, there was the one on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't the one that was pass interference, but it was an ineligible pass.
No, that was Markell Dismuke, I think.
Okay.
But nonetheless, there was a key play in the red zone where he just didn't break down. And if he does, he makes that tackle. If he doesn't, no one makes that tackle. And that was a pretty poor play on Deonte's part. But Eric Lee, a Coloradan, by the way.
JoJo Doman also.
Yeah.
From Boulder.
JoJo is?
I'm pretty sure. Or was it Colorado Springs? I think it's Boulder.
I thought it was Colorado Springs for some reason. Anyway, Eric Lee, who also is like the least prototypical athlete for a defensive back, just made some great football plays today. And he's a senior. I'm happy for him. So that's my third positive right there.
Okay.
But there are a number of other things you could throw in there, like a JoJo Doman. JoJo Doman looked really good.
He did.
I don't know. I think there were elements of the offense that looked fine. If we're going to get into the concerns.
Yeah, Colorado Springs.
Here.
Kenny Bell's from Boulder.
Yeah. He grew up a Colorado fan. Mm-hmm. I don't think he got offered. Here are my concerns. Everyone's going to mention the lines. I get it. The offensive line didn't look great, but I think Greg Austin,
he'll fix that.
Yeah, because the line didn't look great to start out last year. D-line didn't look great either. They did at times.
Right.
I'm a little bit concerned. But I think they were figuring out kind of the pecking order there a little bit too. The thing that concerns me most of all is wide receiver. I think eventually, you know, we'll use a lot more of Wandale. But as far as like a pure Stanley Morgan type wide receiver, I'm not convinced we're there just yet. And I think losing an Andre Hunt and losing a Katerian Legrone, who was a tight end, but in many ways a wide receiver, losing those guys, I think hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Hopefully Kanawai Noah steps up a little bit more. Because, I mean, clearly they were doing what they could to take away J.D. Spielman. Spielman was good at times.
Also, we didn't get a whole lot of offense to look at in the second half.
Yeah, because we scored three non-offensive touchdowns. That that slants the time of possession quite
a
bit.
But the offense looked a lot different once you had Maurice in there.
It did.
And I think that once you have...
They started to string him out a little bit, though, late in the second half. They kind of figured it...
Well, I don't think Scott Frost was really trying to show a whole lot.
That's fair.
If I think you put Wandell... You got... I think if you have Spielman, Wandell, Maurice, Mills, and Stoll all on the field at one time, I think that's going to be a lot to deal with.
Yeah, I do wish... I don't want to say wish because I don't know anything about the situation and I don't want to wish for a real bad human to be on the team. And I don't know whether or not he is, but someone like Katerian Lagrone to kind of balance out because Jack Stoll, great. Austin Allen, also great. But to have that sort of change up to throw at defenses, I mean, I read all offseason how the staff was pretty excited about that Audrey sort of about Lagrone too, about the secret weapon
really?
He was.
I didn't really read all that. I didn't hear. But that's not saying it isn't true. I'm just saying I didn't see it.
It was more kind of like no one knows that he exists, and we can't wait to unleash him.
Got it.
Yeah.
I urge everybody that's still nervous to go listen to the press conferences after the game. Because there, Scott talked. Oh, me and him are on first name basis now. And then Adrian Martinez, not Tanner Lee. What the hell is that guy's name?
Who are you trying
Derek
to
Lee.
Okay.
And then they also talked to Cam Taylor. I believe that's everybody.
Okay.
And Scott Frost didn't blow any smoke up anybody's ass. He was like, yeah, it wasn't great. Also, this isn't something was wrong. We're going to figure it out and fix it. But this is not what this is not how they play.
Yeah.
Adrian Martinez came out and basically said the offense didn't play well. I didn't lead it well. It's my fault. I'll fix it.
Yeah.
The confidence in that young dude is something.
If the defense had played super poorly, and I'm not saying they played great. They played serviceably well.
They played like UCF in the latter half of their national championship season.
But so if the defense had come out
giving up lots of yards, but lots of turnovers.
If the defense had come out and laid a complete egg and the offense looked great, I think that would be more concerning because we know what the offense can do.
Right.
I mean, granted, do we not have Stanley Morgan or Divine Azigbo?
I'm going to say straight up, same thing you've always said, Stanley Morgan is a serviceable wide receiver at best.
He was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was like, what, fourth round in the draft good?
No, he was undrafted.
He was undrafted good. He was an undrafted wide receiver good.
Let's not get into that because how you do as a college player and how you do as a pro player, Tommy Frazier would like an argument, would like a word with
Tommy
you
Tommy Frazier
that.
Probably would not have been a great NFL quarterback.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that pro capabilities and college capabilities aren't the same thing.
Sure. I'm not saying Stanley Morgan wasn't good. He was good. I'm just saying he's not irreplaceable. That's been what I've been saying about Stanley Morgan from day one.
I get that.
He's replaceable.
But he was...
We haven't had a receiver since Irving Fryer that wasn't replaceable.
I'd say Stanley was more important than Irving Fryer because of the styles of offense. NFL...
But he's replaceable. He's replaceable. He's just, I mean,
theoretically, yes. I'm not sure we have currently replaced him.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you can find someone to replace him. I'm just not sure we've got it currently in this batch.
I bet you that by Ohio, people are going to look at this offense and be like, oh, it's better than last year. I think you have Dedrick Mills who came in late, a la Greg Bell. He seems to be a lot more bought in than Greg Bell. Greg Bell seemed to be one of those guys that worked out real hard on Instagram.
Well, Greg Bell...
But didn't work so hard in real life.
Was supposed to be the running back who could house it and didn't.
And Dedrick Mills has never been pitched as the guy that would house it.
Dedrick Mills is the guy who will get you big 10 yards.
Right. 3 and 4, which ultimately, in a sense, he did when he needed to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure his yards per carry was probably like 2 today.
Sure.
If that.
That's not all his fault.
No. Some of it was game plan. Some of it was offensive line.
I'm going to rephrase that for you. Some of it was lack of game plan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was
intentionally vanilla.
Right.
And there are tons of people saying, oh, if it was so vanilla, why was Scott Frost so pissed? Because I think Scott Frost had the expectation that his team could win against South Alabama with vanilla. Still a team that's going to have to out-game plan people, because right now the talent is better than it was a couple years ago, but the talent is still not where they want it to be yet.
Well, also, I think that regardless of whether it was not vanilla, there were still mistakes that weren't game plan mistakes. So there's still reasons to be upset. Even if we did put up 50 on him, there was still a lot of mistakes that don't make sense.
Yeah.
And if you're making those mistakes against South Alabama, who's going to struggle to exploit them, and arguably, you take Chenault away from Colorado, Colorado ain't shit. They're just not shit. Like, they had to spread the ball around last night against Colorado State, but that's because people keyed in on Chenault. And once you had – Chenault only had 3 carries for like 40 yards because they keyed in on him. He's stoppable. The problem is Colorado State didn't have the personnel to stop the other guys. The other guys are suspect. We have the personnel to stop them. You get JoJo Doman – we do. You give JoJo Doman or Mo Berry an opportunity to blitz – Montez, he's going to be pick city next week.
I do think Nebraska is a far more physical team than Colorado is. Just having watched...
Than we were last year.
Having watched game one of both of those teams, and that's not to say things couldn't change
They could also have been, you know, not playing up to snuff like we weren't. Who knows? But I have a feeling that that's not the case.
They don't look like a tough team to me, Colorado. And toughness doesn't do it all for you. You can't just throw a bunch of hard-nutted dudes out there.
I think Colorado loses to South Alabama.
I don't know. I mean, I will say this.
Except it's hard to cover Chenault. But it's hard to cover Wandell. It's hard to cover Spielman. And they did an all right job.
What was I about to say? It's hard to measure the two games because Colorado State is a rivalry.
Sure.
For two reasons. One, there's no reason Colorado should be sleeping on that game. You can't chalk that up as like week one weirdness. That's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
But also, it's a rivalry game for Colorado State.
But it's also a rivalry game more for Colorado State than it is for Colorado.
No.
But I mean, it is, though. Let me explain why. I get that they don't like each other, that they play each other every year. It's in-state rivalry, blah, 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 blah. I get all that. Colorado State sucks.
So does Colorado.
But Colorado is, even at their worst, is always going to be better than Colorado State. I mean, the record is like 80 wins to 22 wins. Like, it's very lopsided.
Yeah, but I'd say in more recent years, if Colorado State is at its worst compared to what it's been, like, in the last year or two, they've been really bad. This would be the time to pick off Colorado, except Colorado, because Colorado is so bad. It's just that both teams are so shitty right now.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think that it's more of a rivalry on paper than it is one of those rivalries where you really get, it's not Texas, Oklahoma. It's not Alabama, Auburn.
Well, that's just because of what I just said, that neither team is any good.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't think that they're going to necessarily be up for it in week one.
Well, I think when you're shitty, the rivalries almost matter more because you got nothing else.
Well, all right.
I'll say this. From the Colorado dorks who blow up our fucking Twitter feed,
yeah,
they hit Colorado State at least as much, if not more, as they do us.
But they, because they beat them.
But, I mean, this was in the summer. Well, but, well, coming into this year, they had beaten both.
I think that... I have a feeling that Colorado is going to... They had a very limited choice of who they could attack on social media.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They only won 5 games.
That's... Yeah.
And we were probably their biggest win... And CSU was like their rival or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't... We'll see. I think... This is what I think is going to happen next week. Are we doing Southern Alabama? Do we want to keep talking about it?
I mean, do we need to?
Yeah. I don't think... I'm not happy about it, but I also... I've calmed down and I don't think it's as big of a... I think it could be a lot worse. If this was Riley... I'd be in full-on hair-on-fire panic mode. If this was Bo Pelini, hair-on-fire panic mode. The team takes on the persona of the head coach, and Scott Frost is calm, he's smart, and he's goal-oriented.
My thoughts on this team will start to crystallize a lot more after next week.
Even more so after week 5. But next week's going to be the first real...
They won't be fully crystallized, but, like, you can take a lot more. I mean, just the general mood around the team will be a lot different if we're hanging a 21-point victory on Colorado versus taking the loss for a second straight year to Colorado. That's two entirely different moods.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I won't want to do this podcast next week if we lose.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, man.
I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to ever look at Twitter again. I don't want to.
Let's not worry about that because it's not going to happen. Let's not put it out there.
All right. Well, here's the thing, then. We've got a bet right now out with a Colorado dude who... Our bet is if Nebraska wins by double digits, which if we're going to, I mean,
I can't believe you made it double digits, you dumb asshole. Just go heads up.
If we're going to win, we're going to win.
Sure, but why double digits? What if we win by 3 and we still got it? We win and then we got to change our profile picture.
Like, cool. We'll still be able to have fucking bragging rights over that guy. Oh, you want to claim that bet win when your team lost by 9?
I guess. I don't know. I just feel like your bravado got the... Speaking of a guy that's got a lot of bravado, you let it get the better of you.
Is that guy really going to hold our feet to the fire if Nebraska wins by 9? And like, well, you better put that Colorado profile picture up.
That's fair.
Like,
he better not. I'll be like, you know what, guy? Fuck off. We won. Get out of here. Or I'll doctor it. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you halfway, and then yeah. I'll put a giant dick going in the Buffalo's ass.
But so the bet is... He has to put our profile picture up or we...
He's his. Not going to.
But what I'm saying, we got to come up with the best profile picture before Saturday.
Okay. I'll think of a good one.
Okay. I've got a hunch. Is it going to involve LaVisca Chenault and a bunch of dicks?
No. Here's the thing. I respect LaVisca Chenault.
He's good.
He's good. He's a good player. He's the one redeeming. He's not a shit talker.
He is a little bit of it. Every good college football player is somewhat of a shit talker.
Well, but I mean, I don't know. He seems to be someone that kind of keeps their head down and plays. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't really follow him that well.
It's hard to tell because a lot of that shit talk happens on the field.
Right. Well, and also you're 5-7.
Yeah.
But
a lot of that seven came after he got hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he got hurt. LaVisca Chenault, whatever. He's a good guy. He's a good player. talent is talent. You got to, you know, recognize talent. The rest of their team is a trash fire.
Yeah, Montez was supposed to be a first round draft pick a couple years ago.
Well,
that has not materialized. I hope
he was doing a lot of Taylor Martinez slinging last night off his back foot, YOLO balling it.
Yeah, that's not good in the Colorado offense. You don't get a Taylor Martinez. It
you shut down Chenault. So here's my game plan for next week. If I was the head coach, you shut down Chenault. You put Boodle on Chenault the whole game because he's got speed.
We didn't see Boodle most of the second half.
I know. I think someone kicked him in the balls and just sat out. But you put Boodle on him. He's fast. You just need to cover him with someone fast. Maybe give him some backup, and then you send someone in to hit that quarterback every play, and it's going to be Pick City.
I hope so.
I think that if you hurry Montez, the D-line's going to be better, and they're going to be able to kind of keep him at bay. And if we can just keep pressure on that quarterback, he's going to panic, and he's going to throw a lot of picks. If Colorado State had better hands on defense, that game is different. They dropped a lot of picks.
Here's one thing you won't see. Intentionally trying to injure LaVisca Chenault.
That's something you won't see.
We'll take him out of the game, but without being assholes about it.
Yeah, because Cam Taylor just
wrecked him. Or that we just defend him well.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens. It's going to be chirpy.
Yeah.
I want to see what happens to Collier. He's got a target on his back. Garen, and if he doesn't, he fucking better.
I don't know how much he's gonna play.
Fucking better play, and he better fucking have a target on his back. And I want to see fucking Stoll just crushing him.
A lot of mullet in the face,
Dude. I want to see Cam Jurgens pushing his D lineman back so hard that he's got a clean shot on a nice run block on Collier. I want that motherfucker dead. I want him dead, I tell you, dead. I think my mic. Okay, wait. Is my mic fine?
Did you break your mic?
I might have. Did I break my
mic?
You
dumbass.
No, I didn't. It's there. It's fine.
Speaking of dead and speaking of Colorado fans.
Oh, yeah, this.
Are you over this
Sal's dead, go Big Red thing?
Oh, my God. One, if you're a Husker fan, don't do this.
But also, no one's doing it. No one's doing it.
I literally spent hours this week searching the phrase Sal is dead on Twitter, and you get a lot of shit besides that. I went through 3 months worth of Twitter. I found 3 instances of Husker fans saying it, which is 3 too many. I'll grant you that. But there's one fan from Colorado who's like, well, I saw 4 last night. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I researched this a lot. I saw...
Pat's autistic.
I'm not autistic. I'm a nerd.
I'm pretty sure it's the same thing.
See, I'm smiling right now. I'm laughing. I'm recognizing emotion.
You've learned what emotions to show me. You're like a robot. You've been taught emotions.
Also, there's nothing wrong with autism.
Nobody said there was. Saying something exists is not the same as making fun of it.
Fair enough. Okay. What I'm saying is I spent a lot of time researching. I saw way more instances of Colorado fans in the last 3 months uttering the phrase on Twitter, Sal is dead, than I did Nebraska fans. Again, a Nebraska fan said it in the early 90s. There was a sign.
But you've seen proof of this sign, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen the proof of the sign. I've heard a lot of people...
You know what? I haven't seen the sign now that I think of it.
And I've also read articles that have basically... From the 90s that are basically like, where's this sign at? Like... Part of me wonders, and I'm not saying maybe it did happen, but I'd like to see, because from what I've read, it's also quite a big possibility that it's an urban legend and that someone chanted it in the stands. There was, and it's become this thing where it's like the Husker student section was chanting, Sal is dead, go big, or whatever they're saying. That never happened.
And again, one is too many, but so say we take the amount of people I found documented cases of on Twitter saying that phrase, say we double that, and then we multiply it by 1,000. That's about how many fans were kicked out of a Nebraska-Colorado game one year.
Right.
Like, the percentage of Husker fans, I've seen more fans on Twitter calling out saying Sal is dead than I have people saying it.
And they're also, dude, they're the most sensitive little snowflake bitches, too. Here's the thing. They make a shirt. This is the real thing. I saw the shirt.
The crying kid?
The crying kid shirt.
Yeah.
Now, if we did that for Colorado, I guarantee it would be, you heartless little pricks, you're making fun of a little kid. I saw it. You know what I said when I saw it? And it was on a goddamn radio station, so I have proof that this is how I responded. If any Colorado fan wants to be a knucklehead and say I made it up.
Knucklehead, huh?
It was, I said, that's some really good smack talk. I wish I would have thought of something like that.
Yeah.
Well, like, did their buffalo die on the field one time?
I don't know.
Because that'd be a funny shirt. A dead buffalo on the field. I mean, that's funny.
I found some dead buffalo gifts, and I feel, but then they were kind of like grotesque. I was like, ah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I was trying to find one from like Oregon Trail once.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find any. Nonetheless, what was I going to say? It's because of the classy fan label. The best fans in college sports, all that stuff.
I do hate that.
They find, so because of that, any little crack in the armor. But it's like, dude, there are millions of Husker fans. And you can cherry pick the worst.
And
I see shitty Colorado fans every day, every minute in
that
our
classiest fan thing. But you know what? That also is a reference to a very specific thing. It's a reference to basically two things, but really one. In the newspapers, what it is fans come, they get accepted into our tailgates and get free beer and send in letters to the Omaha World Herald. Yeah. That's the one instance. But the real reason that classiest fan in the world thing came from is because Bobby Bowden, when he beat us at home to break our winning streak with, I think, Ricky Williams. No, that's Texas. That's Texas.
It was in the 80s.
It was in the 80s with, I'm getting two things mixed up. It was Bobby Bowden in the 80s when they beat us.
It was when they put FSU on the map.
I can't remember the whole details. Anyways, we gave them a standing ovation when they left the field.
We've given a lot of teams when they've beaten us.
Ricky Williams against Texas. And that's where the label, other coaches have said, these are the classiest fans. And then, of course, Husker fans, being the pretentious fucks that we can be, we're all like, yeah, I'm good. And then we have that sign around every entrance that says the great, but every stadium has something like that.
You mean the one that you referenced for the title of your film?
Yeah. And I've said openly, I'm not 100% sure that we deserve that title anymore.
Oh, you and many people.
I'm not, and this isn't me trying to disavow my film.
No, I know that.
My film is a very specific, specific theme.
You make a very good point in your film, though, too, that being humane and being human are not necessarily one and the same, because you basically told an Iowa fan to go fuck themselves.
I told him to eat shit and die.
Yeah.
I told him to eat a bag of dicks, but I told the university I told them to eat shit and die because I thought that they would feel better about that than eat a bag of dicks because we bleeped it out. Mm-hmm. And they asked me what I bleeped out, and I told them that.
But like you compared that to violence at a Dodgers-Giants baseball game, saying, so like being an asshole is part of the human experience sometimes.
It, for my human experience, a large part. I mean, I'm good at it.
So I think Nebraska can still be great fans and be for whatever metric you want to come up with, the greatest fans or the classiest fans, and still have shitty moments. Like, because that's part of being human and part of being human when you involve lots of humans. It's right. A giant fan base.
Right. Millions and millions of people are Husker fans.
Right.
And there's a large section of people that pretend to be Husker fans on Twitter to make us look bad.
Yeah. And I don't know what that percentage would be, but I
know that there's a lot of them that do it to us where they if you look on their profile, they have 3 followers, which means it's a troll account, basically. And it says Husker fan. There's a picture of a Husker fan, but they are literally trolling us. They're trolling. They're saying horrible
things.
There are
people who say real shitty things to players and recruits.
There's that guy that called that recruit from Oregon the N-bomb, which yeah. I hate. I have to use that word because we're all adults, but I have to. They called him an N-bomb, and then when they dug into it, they found out it was actually an Oregon person, someone from Oregon pretending to be a Husker fan because they released his information.
Yeah.
And it was an Oregon fan. So
just don't do that, guys. No matter who you are, no matter who you're whether you're a Nebraska fan, an Oregon fan, or whatever, good God, don't do that.
But also, with that being said, there's other things you can do to Colorado fans that are equally shitty that don't involve using a dead child, a dead young adult, right, as you know, a weapon. I don't know. Like, you could, I don't know, fuck their sister.
You know what I want to say? You know, you mentioned the t-shirt thing. I've never heard anything from that kid. I wish that kid would just milk that.
Oh, yeah.
And just become, like, super famous and then just, like...
I want to make a shirt of you in that pose.
I've already been called
I know.
That kid by Colorado fans a couple times this week.
Yeah, I know.
That's what made by me two different accounts.
That's what made me think of it because I was like, it'd be really fun if we just made a shirt that was Pat crying over last year's score.
I don't want that.
Yeah, I know.
Dude,
also, here's the thing. So Salas dead, go Big Red, right? And I'm going to love, there's going to be some Colorado fan that's just going to clip that and me and just post that all.
Sure.
Gigantic Husker podcast says Salas dead, go Big Red.
Well, they could also clip plenty of other things
that
like
we've said.
Yeah.
But I guess, where was I going to go with this? So here's what they do. They take the picture of Collier twisting Taylor Martinez's ankle
and celebrate that shit
and put it on a shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that better?
I mean, I guess you could say Taylor Martinez
or
is still
Martinez.
Alive and, or yeah. Adrian Martinez is still alive, still has his football career.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's
in shitty taste, that's for sure.
But also, like, of all the things that they do, the crying kid, that's good. That's a good one. Good burn, bro.
Well, at least that person's an adult now.
And also, also it's 25 years old. Is that what you're going to post a score from?
18 years old.
18 years old. It's 18 years old. You're going to post a score. I mean, come on. Talk about Husker fans live in the past. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The
Husker fans live in the past and gets 95 Huskers gets quoted more by other fans than it does by Husker fans.
And here's the thing. At least if you're mentioning 97 Nebraska, 95 Nebraska, 94 Nebraska, at least those are championship teams. You're quoting a team that lost its last game by a truckload against Oregon. Your big thing is the 2001 Colorado team that had 3 losses.
Right. It's like Iowa hanging banners of Bulls they lost.
Like, if you're gonna go back 18 years, which is only 4 more years. Four years short of what Nebraska's last national championship was. If you're going to go back 18 years, at least do it for a team that won something.
Right. Well, they don't have that. They'd have to go back to like 91.
Yeah, when it took five downs for them to remain a
right
a national championship team that they split with Texas.
Right.
Like,
that's the thing everybody says, that the play was illegal against Shevin Wiggins or whatever. Yeah, that's a little bit different than getting an extra down, you cheating bastards.
Like, that is a subjective argument on the Shevin
Wiggins
thing.
Didn't they find out the guy that ran that was running the downs thing, that the changes, was a Colorado fan or Colorado alumni? Maybe that's an urban legend, too.
Well, I think the head of the reffing crew, or at least one of the guys on the reffing crew, he's a Nebraskan who was still calling high school games in Nebraska up until, like, the last year or two. He would ref some of my brother's games.
In the 91 game?
The guy who did the fifth down.
Oh, really?
He was still calling Nebraska high school games.
So he wasn't a caller. I thought that was the urban legend I was sure was that was a...
Well, you're talking the guy doing the... But I think this was the head ref, or at least a guy on the reffing crew. I don't know specifically what his role was. I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
Because he's faced plenty of shit.
I bet. Where were we? I think... Is there anything else? We were talking about Colorado fans being the worst.
They are. We can all agree on that.
But yeah, like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, don't be a dick to fans. Be a dick.
Like, trash talk is trash talk.
Yeah. But
also
keep it like there should be lines you don't cross.
My other
wishing and applauding injury is one of them.
Yeah. My other thing, and it's never gonna happen though, is if you're gonna like be all smart guy debate motherfucker, be good at it.
Yeah.
Don't move the goddamn goalposts every
right.
fucking second.
And don't like just make big like that guy today on Twitter that was basically like, I hope he's listening. So
that's a Husker fan.
I know
you're
a Husker fan.
About.
Well, it's like, we all know it's bullshit. He said something to the effect of South Alabama's offense is better than Nebraska's. And then we were like, when we called him on the bullshit, he was like, look at the stats, bro. All right, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't think that there was a game maybe when Tom Brady had worse stats in a game against like,
you could
Blake Bortles.
You could theoretically make an argument that South Alabama's offense was better than Nebraska's today.
Played better, not but, is better.
Right.
Played better.
That's why I said was today.
He was,
but I also say this, they weren't. Here's why. Plus minus. Nebraska's offense scored 14 points, but they didn't give up any points. South Alabama's scored 21, but they gave up directly 14. And then because there was also a punt return touchdown for Nebraska, you're talking a lot more possessions for South Alabama
for basically
than you are
the
for
same
Nebraska.
Amount of yards. We yeah. basically had the same amount of yards,
there were
give or take 15, 20, something like that.
There were a couple turnovers that Nebraska didn't do anything with.
Sure.
But in general, the field position battle was also better for South Alabama. You talk about that muffed punt then for J.D. Spielman. That's just setting up shop right in the red zone. South Alabama exceeded expectations relative to Nebraska today. I will grant you that. Nebraska's expectations were higher and they didn't live up to them. South Alabama exceeded theirs. But as far as putting them up against one another in an objective light, Nebraska's offense was overall a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the scores today right now.
Yeah.
And there are just sort of some sort of weird scores.
Yeah.
Tennessee's barely beating Georgia State. Arkansas's barely beating Portland State.
What quarter are either those games in?
Tennessee's in the fourth. Arkansas's in the third.
Oh.
It's 10-6. You know what I'm saying? Stanford's in the third. They're only up on Northwestern by 10 points.
Well, those are two usually pretty evenly matched teams.
Sure. I'm just pointing things out.
That's not great for
Syracuse,
the Big Ten. It's not a great weekend for the Big Ten.
Syracuse and Liberty are tied.
First quarter?
Yeah, it's 14:55 left to go in the first quarter.
Come on, Dino. Get your team together.
You know, but I'm saying, like, I'm just saying, the first 3 weeks, especially the first week, This is where the upsets happen.
Yeah.
Upsets are more likely to happen in the first 3 weeks than they are.
Those caliber of upsets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you get in the conference play, you have a different type of upset.
For sure. I'd much rather get upset by Purdue. Like, for example, Iowa, was the last year that Iowa clobbered Ohio State? No, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Iowa was not a better team than Ohio State that year.
No.
If they do best out of five, it probably goes Ohio State 4, Iowa 1.
They had a good game plan. Ohio State couldn't match.
And Ohio, I'm not even sure it was a game plan as much as it was.
They saw a weakness.
But was there not a lot of, like, kind of weird turnovers, the ball not quite bouncing?
That was one of Nate Stanley's best games as a quarterback. And what it came down, I think it was Stanley at that point. But basically what it was is they found, and this happens sometimes, you see a weakness on film, you see it in all these games, and you're like, no one has exploited this yet. No one has seen this. And then you see it, and because no one else has exploited it, the other team's like, holy shit, what just happened to us? And so sometimes that just happens. Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, Ohio State wins that game, right?
Well, especially after that.
Right.
They see where their weakness was, and they tighten the fucking screws on that.
Right, and that happens. That's why, like, today's game against South Alabama, as worked up as I was, I mean, it was hard to sit through that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
As hard as that was, you know, I've calmed down. I'm not so butthurt about it.
Should we do some tweets?
Okay.
I'll see what I can find. Now that it's game week, whoo doggy, is it going to get tough? We're going to get a lot of them. Tyler Garber says, Joe is the best on the Cobcast. Quit trying to get everyone to root against him.
Well, read what caused that tweet.
Well, I mean, I know it wasn't serious because I think Tyler Garbers is one of the kick Joe people. Because he also said, pull your butthole out before flushing, bud.
Yeah, which was...
I don't have many tweets like these, but I had one today where we immediately lost 3 followers because it was about me taking a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Which I fully expected.
Well, you didn't see the tweet immediately after your tweet.
Which one?
You tweeted that, and I was also shitting.
Yeah, twinsies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked
it. He was responding to that when he said that, and then you were like, wrong pooper.
No, he said it to me, and I was like, wrong. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Let's see here. There are people saying, well, someone said to ban Mike from the podcast. Mike will never show up again, ever.
Mike is banned.
Is he banned?
Yeah, dude, you don't fucking...
You invite him sometimes.
Not anymore, not after that text last night.
Which one?
The reason that the whole Joe thing is there. That's what I'm saying. Read the text, why he's saying kick Joe. Or ban Joe or whatever. It is... So Mike Canale has gone full heel.
Well, yeah, he's been doing that forever.
And Mike... Right, and so Mike texted me... I'm trying to find it.
You have the theory that El Ron Mexico is Mike Canale.
Yeah, I changed my mind on that.
It's believable to a certain point.
Because he made some really specific statements.
Yeah.
That either he's a huge fan of the Cobcast or he's Mike Canale. Me and Mike Canale used to take Krav Maga classes together, and then I got punched in the throat. Or not punched in the throat, choked in the throat, and they fucked up my trachea.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go anymore because it wasn't worth it. I couldn't talk for a week. So anyways, last night Mike texted me, Colorado 57, Nebraska 2. And then Joe liked it with a thumbs up. So I screen captured that and I put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And said, kick Joe. And I explained that Mike texted that to me and that Joe liked it. Joe claims that he read it wrong. He thought that I
Which is entirely possible if you know Joe.
He is a stupid stoner. Yeah, and so I posted that on Twitter. And that's where that whole thing came from.
We also got trash talked by Jake Immink, because he said, I know you're heartbroken right now as the biggest Auburn Bulldog fan in Southern California, but tomorrow's Husker game day, Sorry for my Jeffs putting it on them, but tomorrow is the march to the Natty. They didn't put them on them.
What was the final score?
14-12.
Oh. Yeah, it's not really putting it on them.
Auburn had to replace a lot of players, including a Division I player.
Why?
Well, because they graduated last year. And they almost came back. They were down 14-0 with 5 minutes to play.
Nice. Where'd they get 5 points from? A field goal and a safety?
No, they were down 14. It was 14-12. They were down.
Oh.
They scored 12 points in the final 5 minutes. They missed an extra point and then had to go for two the second time. That happens a lot in high school football. Are you not following?
Oh, so it was six and then six again.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Oh, I get where you're confused. You thought it was seven and then another three, five after that.
And I was like, how did you get a field goal and a safety and a touchdown in 5 minutes? That's crazy.
That would have been crazy. Let's see here.
I'm really sorry for your loss. Why can I not for the life of me think of your brother's name?
Tony.
I'm sorry for your loss, Tony. You're a great coach.
I'm going to guess he's not listening much during the season.
He's listening.
And he's a busy, busy man in the season.
I want you to know that I believe in you. I believe in your kids. I believe in your team.
Like his kids as in his daughters?
Yes. Also those.
But they're great. Also, my nieces are awesome.
You're lucky because I, as a man that has something like 30 nieces and nephews, no exaggeration, I have great nieces and nephews.
I have some step nieces and nephews too.
I have literally have nieces that have kids.
Oh damn!
Yeah. And I'm gonna be honest. Not all of them are great. Some of them are not great. Some of my nephews in particular.
But this is what I
bad as shit. And
this is what I go back to when I mention the number of Nebraska football fans. The more you have, the more likelihood of a bad apple.
Right. But I also believe in your players, Tony.
Yeah.
The Cobcast is behind you 100%.
Yeah, they are. Now
probably more than Rick Jansen. I'm probably a bigger fan of Auburn than Rick Jansen is.
Well, Rick Jansen doesn't get to go to most Auburn games because he's on a reffing crew most Friday nights.
Oh, and he can't coach his son's team?
Or can't ref his own?
Can't run his son's team? Because he'd cheat for sure.
But it's on to Fort Calhoun next week. We play the Pioneers next week. So there we go, guys. There's your Auburn Bulldogs high school football update.
You can give one every week, Pat. That's fine.
Yeah.
You should.
I'm for it. Hey, what was that?
Dude, I've been farting for like this whole episode.
All right, so after Fort Calhoun, and then it's at Milford, then home against Omaha Concordia, then at Ashland Greenwood, the fighting Ben Stillies, then home against Nebraska City.
The fighting Ben Stillies. Oh, what's their real name?
The Blue Jays.
They should be the 420s because it's exit 420.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I won't go through the entire schedule.
Okay.
Let's see, what else we got here?
The fighting 420s would be a great name for a high school football
team. Do you think they'd be competitive?
Yeah.
Or would they just, I don't know.
Look at how many professional athletes smoke weed.
Fair enough. The happy, angry Andy, the Colorado Buffs fan who's the most annoying. There are two annoying Andys who are Buff fans. This one had gone into hiding for a few weeks. He's back.
I heard he quit Twitter.
Yeah.
Which means he got, because I think he gets booted a lot. He's a troll account.
He says, it's game week. You guys didn't look like a top 25 team. You deserve shit talk as a rival. Be ready to leave upset.
You're not a rival.
Also, we didn't look like a top 25 team.
No, you're right.
So,
but neither did you. So I guess it's going to be a good game next week.
They don't have designs of being a top 25 team. That's not the expectation of Colorado. They want to get into the Papa John's Bowl and call it a successful season.
Okay, you get free. I think you get a free Xbox if you do that shit.
Fair enough.
Do you ever look at what they get for getting into bowl games?
It depends on the bowl.
Yeah, it depends on the bowl, but a lot of them are very similar. It's
the better
like,
the bowl, the better the bowl, the better the package.
For sure, but when you start getting into those kind of like .com bowl type shits, it's like Papa John's. It's like $100 for the Papa John gift certificates and an Xbox with two games.
I want to make a bowl game.
That's your goal? Oh, you mean as an adult?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Get some free stuff. I mean, I guess our closest thing would be to, like, get nominated for a Golden Globe or an Oscar or something like that.
Or someone just, like, be like, hey, man, mention our, you know, mention Yaya's Pizza on the podcast, and we'll give you a free, we'll give you a $100 gift certificate to Yaya's.
Yeah. They have to pay taxes, the people who get the swag bags at, like, the Oscars and all that now. They didn't used to have to do that. Now you have to report it as income.
Well, because it's like $100,000 swag bag.
Right.
Yeah. It's like Rolexes and shit.
Yeah, it's like vacations to the Seychelles.
Dude, I was at a birthday party for Disney. So we were, me and this guy out here, when I first moved out here, I was working kind of with him.
Was it Dylan?
No. Oh. It was this guy named Colazzo.
Okay.
And he was following around these two girls that were about to be signed by the Disney Channel to have their own show or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they threw a birthday party, and there's all these, like, Disney kid celebrities. So I didn't know who any of them were. There was, like, a boy band. But they had, like, a red carpet going into the house. It's like this multi-million-dollar mansion and
mm-hmm.
all these boy bands and shit that you'd never heard of, like, walking this red carpet. And you get in, and we're following these girls around. And there's this room that if you were a celebrity, you got to go into this room, and this company would give you free clothes, and you could try on these clothes. And it was like, but then you had to, like, go and post a picture of yourself wearing the clothes on, like, social media or whatever.
And yeah.
It's crazy, man.
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it?
I mean, it depends on
what
kind of tweet I could do. Could I just be like,
you just gotta tweet yourself about it? Look at this dope ass shirt I got from.
Maybe I'd do it.
I would absolutely do it.
Depends on how good it is.
No, yeah, I'm not going to do it for a shitty shirt, but why would I want a free shitty shirt?
Fair point. Becky says, thank goodness for Big Red Cobcast. Today has been stressful and they know what's up. It's not some guys talking BS the whole hour. That was yesterday prior to the game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Thanks, Becky.
Appreciate it. I think that's going to do it for now.
Yeah. I'm tired. I want to go watch some football.
Yeah.
Probably going to go buy a joint.
And I'm hungry.
Okay.
So that'll do it, guys. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. Get yourself one of those
Hawkeye tiers.
Sweet Hawkeye tiers water bottles.
We just released a bonus episode. It's a good one. 1982 Huskers. Versus Iowa.
Yeah.
Cockeyes.
Why hasn't anyone thought of that yet?
I don't know. The cockeyed Cockeyes?
They play in like an hour.
Yeah, no, I'm going to watch part of that game. As much as I can stomach.
Against the fighting Ben Roethlisbergers.
Cool. The yeah. Steelers playing the Steelers?
Yeah.
That's
Miami of Ohio is Ben Roethlisberger's alma mater.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. Better as a bus.
Better as a bus.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.